are going to finally look up. Isn't that something? What does it take, really, to get people to look up with awe? And there are maybe some amateur astronomers out there. Hi, everyone. Martin Zender here. There are maybe some amateur astronomers, and maybe you've gone to an observatory in your area and looked at the heavens and marveled at the heavens. But to most people, the sun is something to block on your way to work. Thus, the visor of the car. It's like, get that thing out of here. I can't see the road to get to work. It's a nuisance. So they use a visor to block out the ball of hydrogen so that they don't have to consider the marvels of God. And nature is something to be avoided. That's why we build houses and insulate ourselves from the outside. But as many of you know, there's nothing more wonderful than going out into nature, imbibing of the oxygen released by the many plants and many trees, lying on your back at night and looking up at the stars. I did this one time in Utah. I mean, I've done it more than one time, but a particularly memorable time was in the Great Salt Desert. Went out into the Great Salt Desert, literally walked out onto the salt flats, went about a mile away from the quote-unquote shore. It's just like a sea. If any of you been on Interstate 80 through Utah in the environs of Wendover and gone out into the salt, I was out there about 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I'm telling you, in the desert with my back upon the ancient salt bed, looking up at the heavens, it was amazing. And I will tell you this, because I'm not ashamed of it. I took off all my clothes because it was night and there was nobody out there. And I walked on the salt bed. I feel like ancient man. It was fantastic. It was just the body God gave me, my feet on the ancient salt bed and the stars above. It was phenomenal. What a connection I had with nature at that point and with God. But most people shut this out. We clothe ourselves as we should. I'm not recommending mass nudity here, but and we shield ourselves from the sun. I see people in this city that they have umbrellas because they don't want to feel the sun, and they're afraid of it because it's so hot. And it's like, give me more sun, this beautiful ball of healing and life. Comes and we use visors and umbrellas to get rid of it. It's true I wear my sunglasses, but this is a fashion statement. It's not to get rid of the sun. I like the sun. I just want to look cool. That's why I wear my sunglasses. So I'm going to give you some facts now about heaven in the scriptures. As I said yesterday, humanity is finally going to look up. And this is a new thing. They're going to look up in awe and wonder. And they do this even today when a notable celestial body comes around. For instance, Halley's Comet. What, every 80 years or something? 75, 85 years, Halley's Comet comes by. And then people get excited and there's a buzz. And people will actually turn off the television, maybe, and go out and see it. But you have to be hardcore to get up at, say, 4 or 5 in the morning or stay up till 2 a.m. to watch a meteor shower or to see a comet go by. Most people just don't care. But when the sixth seal is opened and the stars, I'm going to explain to you, I think tomorrow, what the stars of heaven are. I'm going to differentiate stars from comets and meteors. This is going to tell you what is coming out of heaven at the sixth seal. But in order to do that, I have to set the stage for you and explain to you what heaven is. You know, and just as long as people are at peace, as long as heaven can mind its own business, you know, and keep its distance from us, then we'll do as we darn well please. Everything is in order. They don't realize that they think this like thin layer of troposphere or hydrosphere, whatever kind of sphere we have separating us from space, they feel all cozy and comfortable. I used to feel this way in my tent when I was camping on my epic transcontinental bicycle trips. There'd be a storm out, just pelting me with rain, but I felt safe and warm because of a little micron of nylon, a little nylon tent sheath I had constructed for myself, staked out, with plastic stakes. That's going to protect me. And I felt perfectly safe, which is crazy. I even felt safe from lions and tigers and bears when I camped in dodgy areas of in the forest, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this is going to protect me. But it's just unnatural. It's just unreasonable. A sense of security that the 1 millimeter of nylon gives you. And likewise, we have this thin layer of atmosphere above us, and we feel cozy about it because rarely does a heavenly body get past our epic defenses. Why, we have the troposphere, the stratosphere, the ionosphere. Let's see them get through that. Well, they will. You remember, I think it was last year, or was it 2 years ago, that in Russia, there was a huge meteor that made it through our flimsy defense and exploded. And it was fantastic. I mean, there are craters, ladies and gentlemen, on the Earth that speak of a distant day when we have been pelted by celestial bodies. This is going to happen again. And whenever heaven is shaken, you see it on Earth. Now, I'm going to give you an example of that in the Hebrew Scriptures. That's right, I, Martin Zender, I'm going to draw upon the Hebrew Scriptures. Surprise, surprise. Dan Sheridan would be so proud of me that I'm reading from the Old Testament. Because you know me, I'm the guy that tells you, you only need Paul's letters. And I stick with that. If you have Paul's 13 letters, that's all you need. If Paul thinks it's important, he'll tell you about it. Abraham, okay, I'll learn about Abraham so I can understand what Paul's telling me about Abraham. And on it goes. Adam, whatever. But I don't recommend a wholesale study of the Hebrew Scriptures. Forget about it. It's for Israel. Your letters are written by Paul. Those are your marching orders. But I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. This is when the law came. This is God's presence, when he descended to give the law to Israel. Quote, all of Mount Sinai smoked from Jehovah's presence, which descended on it in fire, and the smoke is ascending as the smoke of a lime kiln, and the whole mountain wavered exceedingly. The mountain wavered. And in the unveiling, chapter 6, we read that islands and mountains will, every one of them, be moved out of place. This is in anticipation of the coming of Christ. Likewise, we saw a dress rehearsal of this at the coming of the law from heaven. There was lightning. There was thunder. Everybody was scared. I guess Moses was too, but he went up anyway because he knew his father. So even the cross, what I mean, including the cross, we saw heavenly manifestations, as I mentioned earlier. The sun hid its light because of what was happening. The dreadful events of Calvary draped the earth in darkness. And so the people were scared. They ran away. And this is going to happen again, only in a much larger, on a much larger scale. Now, I have an opinion about science, that true science will always verify the scriptures. Scripture and science are not at odds. People think they are. Mainly because of mistranslation of Scripture. For instance, Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth became a chaos and vacant. There could have been a million years between the time God created the earth and the time it became a chaos and vacant. And it's only after, that's known as the disruption of the world. And it's only after that that the Spirit of God moves on the waters and he brings creation. He brings creation in a literal 6 days, literal 6 days. Adam on the sixth day. But people say, well, the earth is older than that. Well, yeah, who's saying it's not? Christians do, because they don't see what happened in Genesis 1-2, that there was a disruption of the world. They think the earth was created the way that it is. But no, it was created perfect. It was disrupted. And we see the renovation of the disrupted earth. And so, but what I'm saying is that once people know the scripture and they know it accurately, it will agree with science. So there are many people in science who would scoff at the idea, probably Stephen Hawking would be one of them, of stars falling to Earth. Stars falling to Earth? And I used to think this when I read this passage, that one day you're going to be looking at the Big Dipper, and the last star on the handle of the Big Dipper is going to go, pew, that's going to fly off. It's like, oh my God, that's a big deal. But the Big Dipper has been up there for a long time, and it's going to continue to be up there because we're not talking, going to get to, see, I'm preempting tomorrow's talk. We're not talking about stars, i.e. constellations. Now, If any heavenly body like that would fall to earth, I mean, come on. So anyway, science mocks it. But there's a very interesting wording in the scripture where heaven is used either in the singular or the plural. This is fantastic. Mike, how could I be running out of time already? Because I messed up too much talking about whatever I talked about there. Look, in Revelation 6:15, we have heaven in the singular. This is important. I'm going to read that again. And the stars of heaven fall on the earth as a fig tree is casting its shriveled figs. That would be the unveiling 6:15. And yet we have the powers of heavens, plural, shall be shaken. That's what our Lord said in Luke 21:26. He says, a chilling of men from fear is coming and apprehension of that which is coming on the inhabited earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So here it's plural. In Luke 21, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. But in Revelation 6:15, the stars fall from heaven. What is the difference between heaven and heavens? Big difference. You see the minute accuracy of the Word of God and the value of a good translation. This is what you're not getting from other expositors, from other people trying to explain the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And so they will take, like, how can stars fall from heaven? You know, they're set. The constellations are set, and they think stars are falling from heavens, but the stars aren't falling from heavens, they're falling from heaven. And I'm going to explain to you the beautiful significance of that. But rather than mocking the Word of God, science will agree with it, again, when the Word of God is properly translated. Why the change in number? Well, heaven, I want you to know, is sometimes translated air. In fact, this is surprising to you. Wave your arm in front of your face. You know where your arm is? It's in heaven. It's in the air. Because heaven in the Greek means see up. It's the Greek word ouranos. And so heaven is not that far away. In fact, the birds of the air are the birds of heaven. Look at Matthew 6:26, Matthew 8:20, 13:32, whatever. So this brings before us a very limited sphere. So when we see heaven, it is not necessarily that which is in the celestial realm where the sun and the moon are. Because you notice the sun and moon aren't falling, are they? And the constellations are not falling either. And again, sometimes this word is rendered sky, and that's pretty legitimate, really, because heaven in the singular almost all the time refers to the lower strata of our atmosphere. The lower strata. You know, there are several layers, and I mentioned them earlier. The ionosphere, the mesosphere. I didn't mention that one. One of my favorites. Love the mesosphere. And you have the troposphere and all the other spheres. A lightning is said to flash under heaven. Another descriptive term there, under heaven. That's Luke 17:24. The rain and the shower is given by heaven, James 5:18. Where does hail come down? In judgment from heaven, singular, unveiling 16:21. All right, tomorrow I'm going to continue. Isn't this fascinating? I think it is, because we are scholars, we're students, and we're looking into details that's going to cause science to agree, or should I say to not disagree with what God is doing. So I always like it when this happens, and we're going to out-naysay the naysayers. And let God be true, though every man a liar. But I'm not one of those liars, folks, because I'm bringing you the truth. I make sense for a living, and I've been doing it since 1993.